This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today. There is not much that politicians in Wisconsin have agreed on in the past few years. Few issues enjoy bipartisan support.
But a key exception has been the fight against AIDS. Today is World AIDS Day, and thanks to the sometimes understated political will of people on both sides of the aisle, Wisconsin has, by many measures, become one of the most successful states in helping people manage the chronic disease.
Much of that success is due to the innovative work of the Milwaukee-based AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin, or ARCW, which employs what's known as the medical home model to reach and support AIDS patients in the community.
Mike Gifford is president and CEO of ARCW. He joined us back in August for one in a series of conversations recorded on the sixth floor of the University Club of Milwaukee. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
What is the storyline on AIDS in Wisconsin circa 2014? What are the successes and what are the challenges that you still deal with every day?
You know, the storyline, I think, is summed up by we are leading the country in the fight against AIDS, and there are great challenges that lie ahead. Wisconsin has distinguished itself in the fight against AIDS across America really in two ways. One, we have the lowest AIDS death rate in the country, which really means that people living with HIV in Wisconsin live longer than anywhere else in the country. And then secondly, for a person with HIV, the ultimate goal is to get to an undetectable viral load. It means their HIV is managed as effectively as possible. And at the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin, 83% of our patients have an undetectable viral load, much higher than the national average of 25%. So we're doing great.
An undetectable viral load does not mean that they are cured of the disease, though.
Doesn't mean they're cured of the disease. They still have HIV. There is no cure for AIDS. That's a very important thing for us to keep in mind. But it simply means that they are in care and treatment, and the care and treatment's working as best as possible.
Is it akin to the use of the term remission in other diseases?
I would suggest that it's not akin to the use of the term remission because you need to stay on treatment, and the treatment itself has a number of serious side effects. People with HIV tend to have higher levels of cancer, particularly women with HIV who are five times more likely to be diagnosed with cervical cancer, heart disease issues, mental health issues, including neurocognitive impairment much earlier in life. So not really remission. It's just successful treatment at that time.
ARCW is especially well known for its medical home model, and I was hoping you could walk us through the significance of the medical home model and why it's so appropriate in the context of AIDS.
That's a great question. You know, we are really proud of the fact that the ARCW HIV Medical Home is the first and only HIV medical home recognized by the federal government. We're grateful for the work of the Walker administration and the Obama administration coming together to get that recognition and new support for it. A medical home is simply a model of care where we're integrating health and social services to meet the comprehensive needs of our patients. So in the ARCW medical home, a patient can simultaneously access medical and dental care, mental health therapy, drug treatment, a pharmacy, all those health care services that we need them to be accessing to assure they get to that undetectable viral load. But we know one of the most significant barriers to successful treatment is all the social barriers to care, poverty and prejudice and hunger and homelessness. And that's where all of our social services are integrated. So we actually operate one of the largest food pantries in the city of Milwaukee to assure that our patients have the nutrition necessary to live healthy. We provide about $750,000 in rent assistance. We know that a person with HIV who is low income and who is hungry is going to have to be focused on putting food in their stomachs, and that may take priority over putting medicine in their stomachs. Same thing on the housing side. A person with HIV who's homeless is going to be seeking out a shelter, maybe rather than seeking out a doctor's appointment.
And this, in the case of ARCW, takes place largely all under one roof.
All under one roof, one integrated team of professionals. Doctors and dentists working together hand in hand with the pharmacist who's, you know, right on site, social work case managers, mental health professionals, literally standing in huddles throughout the day in real time, coordinating care, trying to identify the challenges that patients are facing and help to overcome those challenges.
How much of your work is involving patients who are already diagnosed with AIDS versus the work that you do to prevent or detect AIDS?
We've talked a lot about HIV care and treatment already in the interview. You know, we serve about 3,000 people living with HIV around the state, and that probably encompasses about two-thirds of what we do. The other third of our efforts are really focused on stopping the spread of HIV. So that is working with people at risk for HIV, wherever they happen to be in their risk situation with HIV, and helping them reduce and ultimately eliminate that risk through the distribution of HIV prevention materials, education in schools and other community settings, some online interventions given the social media reality of society these days.
The community that you serve, largely impoverished, it's dealing with a lot of different issues, high blood pressure, diabetes, any number of medical issues. How is your work with the AIDS Resource Center informed by the approach to other diseases in the community and vice versa?
I think that this really gets back to that medical home issue where all of the care for a single person is cared for in with one provider and one team of healthcare professionals. It's interesting, in many other communities around the state and around the country, even for a person with HIV, they would go to one physician for their HIV care and a different physician for their primary care. And we bring those two worlds together, I think, in a good way. That's, again, part of the medical home, and I think that's beginning to inform care elsewhere. You know, there's a physician, a cardiologist that's really close to our cause and our organization, and he often comments about how this is how heart care should be provided. So I think in a lot of ways, HIV care is blazing the trail for healthcare in the future, knowing that if we can do it in a serious health issue like HIV and succeed there, that it'll be easier to succeed on some of these other chronic diseases.
Clearly, we have gotten a lot better at the medical aspect of treating AIDS since it first came on the scene in the 1980s. How much better are we at the other aspects, either the interventions or dealing with the social and discriminatory impacts of AIDS?
We're all grateful for the strides we've made in the fight against HIV medically, right? I mean, there really is hope for a long and healthy life for people with HIV right now if they get into care and treatment and if they stay on the medications throughout the rest of their lives. On the prevention side, we have made great strides on the prevention side. As an example of that, clean needle exchange. It has been operating in this state now for 20 years. We like to say that during that time, you know, society has gone on and succeeded. And, you know, the cows still give milk in Wisconsin, the beer is still brewed in Wisconsin, and we're excited that the needle exchange program has reduced new HIV infections among that community by 76% since it started. It's a stunning success. Other interventions, particularly for young people who are becoming newly at risk for HIV, aren't as strong and effective, largely because there's inconsistency around the public schools on how we're implementing that. Sadly, to the last point in your question, we've made precious little progress in the issue of stigma and discrimination against people with HIV and AIDS. There are a string of recent discrimination situations, patients who couldn't get their teeth cleaned by a dental hygienist, to patients who needed access to emergency housing and were denied it, to patients who are denied access to basic surgery.
You mentioned education, and if you were designing a curriculum that educated students, appropriate age students, yeah, about AIDS and AIDS prevention, what should kids be learning at this stage?
Yeah, you know, once kids get into middle school, they need to understand how HIV is transmitted. And I understand that's a controversial thing for a lot of school districts. But when you see that a quarter of HIV infections are among people that are under 24 years old, we need to start at that middle age school level to begin to educate our young people. They need to understand how HIV is transmitted sexually. As they move on in the years ahead, they're going to become more sexually active. And certainly how HIV is transmitted through drug use. One of the terrible things that society is facing right now is the heroin epidemic. The heroin epidemic is an epidemic that is among high school age kids and kids right out of high school, and with it are all the risk behaviors that could lead to the transmission of HIV. So we need to start with a real honest conversation about HIV prevention in middle school, and then we need to build onto it steps that you could take to prevent HIV, and then ultimately how you make sure that you're successful in care and treatment.
Is the heroin epidemic the next front line in the fight against AIDS?
The heroin epidemic worries me on a couple of fronts. I mean, one, it knows no class or income boundaries. Two, what we've seen in our state is a huge uptick in deaths, and they're very tragic deaths. They're among very young people who have promising lives ahead. And I'm very concerned that it could re-spike the AIDS epidemic because it is that same. Risk behavior. ARCW, I think, has taken a really enlightened approach to the heroin epidemic, working with Representative John Nygren from Green Bay and the Walker administration. We've recently helped secure passage of the HOPE legislation. The most important part of it from our vantage point is that there's a medication called Narcan. And if you give Narcan to somebody who is in the throes of a drug overdose based on heroin, it will reverse that overdose, literally bringing somebody back from the brink of death. And we've been operating that program since 2006. We have reported more than 2,300 saves, or instances where the drug was used to save somebody's life. And that's important to us because we're able to save that life and have that conversation about getting people into drug treatment, getting them off of drugs, and reducing their HIV risk.
You've had success in working with the Walker administration. You've had success in working with the Doyle administration. How have you managed to keep politics out of AIDS policy in Wisconsin?
We owe a great debt of gratitude to political leaders in this state who have focused on what is best to save people's lives. And at the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin, we are focused on outcomes, outcomes like lowest death rate in the country, highest level of undetectable viral load among our patients. And when we've been able to focus on that and set aside some of the peripheral issues of HIV, we've been able to succeed. And I give great credit to politicians of both parties who have stepped up and said, we're going to work in partnership on this one.
How has your ability to measure success changed in recent years?
A couple of different ways. And one, ARCW has made significant investments in electronic health records and technology that has allowed us to more closely track the outcomes of the care and treatment we provide. And two, with the advent of new HIV treatment, it's actually easier to track the progress that we're making. And, you know, our most recent annual report was entitled Return on Investment, and that's how we look at the work that we do. We try to take some of the best practices in the private business sector and apply them in the nonprofit sector. So trying to assure that every investment made, whether it's a dollar that's raised through AIDS Walk Wisconsin or a dollar that is given to us by the federal or state government, is best used.
So who do you think you're missing at this point? I mean, who is out there that the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin isn't getting to?
We serve about 3,000 people with HIV on an annual basis, and our best estimates indicate that there's maybe another 1,000 people who could use our care and treatment services. A lot of those individuals may not even know they're HIV positive yet and therefore aren't going to be enrolling in services. So we really need to reach out, particularly among young people, sadly, particularly among people of color. HIV is a disease of disparity, a health disparity among the races in our society and in our community. So those are really where we need to focus more of our energy as we move forward.
The term I remember from years ago is the notion of AIDS as a stigma on top of a stigma. Is it still at that level?
I think in many areas of society, it still is that level. There's still a taboo around HIV, and you know that's based in people's thoughts about the LGBT community. Sometimes it may be based in some religious beliefs. And what we try to do at ARCW, I think we do pretty successfully, is try to overcome that by honoring that, but setting that aside and focusing in on trying to control and end what really is the worst public health crisis of our time.
So Is it harder to make the case for urgency when you are meeting with so much success? When you go out in the community at one level, you're saying, we've had, you know, we've had great strides in dealing with this, but at the same time, we still need money to keep this going. Yeah.
You know, the success that we've had in the fight against AIDS does make the road ahead more challenging in a couple of ways. You know, sadly, the success we have on care and treatment has, you know, I think had the unintended consequence of people being less focused on protecting themselves from HIV. We unfortunately have young people who come to us who are newly diagnosed with HIV who think they're sort of this magic pill, and if I take it, you know, my HIV will be taken care of. And it's just not that simple. So that's one of the instances where our success has hampered future efforts. We're very grateful for the philanthropic community in the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin, who we believe, and I think it bears out, want to invest in success. And we're grateful for that investment. We see that investment ongoing. And with the challenges of trying to get all of our patients to an undetectable viral load, trying to get 1,000 more patients into care and treatment, trying to prevent another uptick in new HIV infections among our young people, I think there is enough really urgent challenge there that the philanthropic community hopefully will continue to rally around the fight against AIDS. I often say someday we're going to win the fight against AIDS, and let's win it first here in Wisconsin.
Well, Mike Gifford, thank you so much and best of luck with that.
Thank you very much for having us today.
Mike Gifford is president and CEO of the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin. Our interview with him first aired in August, and it's part of our series recorded at the University Club of Milwaukee.
Coming up next, an art exhibit that incorporates a somewhat unusual artistic substance. It's 1.2 million condoms. We'll learn about it when Lake Effect returns on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.